All right, it is Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable. I'm Jim Chesko, known to many of you as Chet, and I'm without my radio partner tonight. That's right, Mr. Philly Press Box himself. Bill Furman is a no-show. He apparently got a better offer this evening and left me hung out to dry. Now, actually, Bill is a respected high school baseball coach. I'm just throwing in that respected adjective to give Bill the benefit of the doubt. He is a baseball coach down in Lakeland, Florida, and his team's game got rained out last night, so they are making it up tonight. In fact, Bill's team is going up against a squad coached by two-time World Series champ, a series MVP, in fact, Pat Borders, who, by the way, will be coaching the Phillies' Williamsport Crosscutters minor league team starting in June. So, good luck to Bill this evening, and good luck to Pat Borders this summer. Now, the good news is I'm being joined by a very special guest. He's someone I've known for about 20 years now, and in addition to being a diehard Eagles fan and season ticket holder, he's the executive director of the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation, Mike Barnes. Mike, welcome to Philly Press Box Radio.
Jim, thank you so much for having me this evening. I'm really excited to participate tonight, and it's just an honor to get to speak to you and to talk to all of your listeners. I'm really honored to be here.
Yeah, we got lots to discuss, Mike. You know, I was trying to figure out when we first met. I'm thinking maybe 1994, 1995, through your brother, when we went to a couple of baseball games together, including a road trip down to Baltimore. Does that sound about right?
That sounds right, Chet. I think we met through Bill in 1993. And if you remember, Camden Yards just opened, and all of us in Philadelphia made the trip down to Baltimore. It's one of the first stadiums that made their renovations, and obviously, we're so lucky to have Citizens Bank Park, but it was Camden Yards, you know, three and a half hours down 95. We made that trip a couple of times, and I've known you for a good 20 years now. And, you know, for those of your listeners that don't know, Jim is a great guy, and he goes to a lot of charity events. And our relationship has really been based on Jim's participation in the charities that I've worked with throughout the years.
And by the way, Mike, what happens in Baltimore stays in Baltimore, okay?
That's right, Jim. Now, Jim, I have to tell you, do your listeners know you as Chet, or do they call? Are you known as Jim? Because I call you Jim.
Most call me Chet, okay? So we call each other Chet and Bill on the air. So if you slip back to Jim, that's okay, too.
It's no problem. A running joke with us, but I will call you Chet. So here
All
we
right.
go, Chet.
All right. Now, in recent years, Mike, I've seen a lot of you, of course, through the great charitable organizations you've worked with. Most recently, the last couple of years, the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation. Both Michael Barkan, whom every Philly area sports fan knows from his TV and radio work, and his wife, Ellen, are very much involved with this foundation. So get us started, Mike. Tell us how the organization came to be and what it's all about.
Absolutely. As everybody knows that's listening, Michael started Comcast Sportsnet here in Philadelphia, I guess about 2000, 2001. He and his family moved from Boston down into the Philadelphia area. And Michael and his wife, Ellen, who's an amazing woman in her own right, she's actually my boss. I hope she's listening. But they've been involved with several charities throughout their time here in Philadelphia. And most notably, Michael worked with the ALS chapter here in Philadelphia. So in about 2008, Michael and Ellen hosted a golf outing called the Michael Barkan and Friends Golf Classic. And after about 4 years of the outing, it was a huge success, and they were giving the money and donating the money to different charities throughout the Delaware Valley. It was awesome. So fast forward to October 2012, Ellen said to Michael, why don't we have a commitment to the community throughout the year and open up our own foundation. And of course, Michael, he doesn't have enough on his plate. He only works a couple hours a day, right? So Michael is all in favor. Well, obviously, we wake up with Michael on the radio in the morning, and we go to bed with Michael on TV at night. So Michael and Ellen started the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation in October of 2012, and they bestowed the incredible honor of having me as the executive director. Obviously, I got to know Michael with my work at the Arc of Philadelphia several years ago. So since that time, we just celebrated our two-year anniversary in October, and I'm very, very proud of what our community of supporters has accomplished in just over 2 short years. It's astounding. It's absolutely amazing. And none of this happens without our supporters. So just to give you another glimpse of what we're all about is we support local families throughout the Delaware Valley. We have a heavy support in the police and fire communities. And it's just been amazing to see what the community can do as one family to come together in support of local families. And currently, as we speak, we're raising money. It's called our team Hearts for Heroes. We're raising money for a police officer by the name of Ed Davies, who's from Philadelphia. He was shot in August of 2013 in North Philadelphia in the 25th District. Ed is an amazing man, extraordinary person, great family man, has 4 children, beautiful wife Marissa, and he's endured 5 surgeries, was in a coma for 37 days at Temple University Hospital. And for us, it's an honor to wrap our arms. Our community is coming together in support of Ed Davies and his family. And I'm proud to say, in less than 10 days, we've raised close to $7,500 for Officer Davies and his family. So,
oh, that's awesome.
So on March 7th, which is next Saturday evening, we're hosting an event at Chickie and Pete's on Roosevelt Boulevard. It's a 1100 Roosevelt Boulevard from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And it's called Hearts for Heroes. So we have 80 individuals throughout the Delaware Valley who are comprised of this Hearts for Heroes team who will be running in the Broad Street Run on Sunday, May 3rd. So what each of those team members does is goes out and solicits donations in support of Officer Davies. So the thing that I love about the Barkan Foundation is that we don't support one specific different type of a disability or cancer. We support everybody. We support families. And that's very different for me because I've worked in the disability community since I was 13 years old. And I guess since I've known you, Jim, in that 20-year period of our relationship, I've worked for 11 different nonprofit organizations. And this is what I really like to say to those of you who are listening that look at Michael Barkan as somebody in the media. Michael and Alan didn't start this to create a foundation about them. What they did was they created a forum to get the community to come together. And we're coming together as one, and it's about our supporters and what they're doing for the families that we serve through the foundation's mission. And as I said, leadership is a very, very big deal in nonprofit organizations when it comes to our board, when it comes to a vision. And Michael and Alan have set a very clear, transparent, and shared vision for all of us. And it's very special to be a part of. So I am so excited. I can't say thank you enough for this opportunity to talk about something that really means a lot to me and to a lot of people throughout the Delaware Valley who are our major supporters and, quite frankly, our family. So,
The March 7th event at Chickie's and Pete's on Roosevelt Boulevard, can other people get involved? Can they buy tickets? Or, you know, what do you need for this?
Sure. It's $30. You can buy tickets on our website, which is thebarkanfoundation.org. And Barkan is spelled B-A-R-K-A-N-N. You can also follow us on Facebook, the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation. We're on Twitter as well. But tickets are $30. All of the money that's being raised next Saturday night will be going to Officer Davies and his family. And the $30 will get you a 3-hour open bar, appetizers. Of course, Michael will be there. Officer Davies and his family will be there. And we're expecting a huge turnout. We're selling T-shirts as we speak. So everybody's going to be decked out in blue. And we want everybody to know not only are we supporting Ed Davies and his family, but we're supporting the entire police community. We love them, and we're behind them 100%. So next Saturday night, March 7th at Chickie and Pete's, it's going to be a great time. Mike Menschner from M Entertainment is going to be playing some great music. Great times, and it's about coming together as one. And I think it's going to be an emotional night. And I also think You know, it's really going to be a lot of fun. So we hope everybody can make it out. And once again, if you want to buy a ticket, they're $30. You can purchase at the door, but thebarcanfoundation.org is our website.
That's March 7th. And I saw those blue T-shirts, by the way. Very nice, very sharp. They did a real nice job on those. Mm-hmm.
Thank
now,
you
in addition
much,
to this event, I see also that you've just announced another big event for the summer when hopefully we'll all be outside in shorts and T-shirts and this frigid winter will be a distant memory. What do you have on the Barkin Foundation calendar for June?
So it's been a tough winter for everybody once again here in the Northeast. Not so much snow this year, but the cold weather. I think everybody's looking for the spring and the summer and making their plans. So we're very excited. We announced yesterday that the 2015 Michael Barkan and Friends Golf Classic will take place on Monday, June 29th at White Manor Country Club in Malvern, PA. This year, we're excited to have Capital Grille back. And what we're going to do for our sponsors this year and everybody who plays in the golf outing, they will be invited to a private luncheon at Capital Grille on Tuesday, April 14th. That's Tuesday, April 14th at Capital Grille in downtown Philadelphia from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And our sponsors will enjoy a luncheon that's hosted by Michael Barkan. And I'll have several panelists who will talk about the upcoming Eagles draft. And they will also discuss the key free agency acquisitions that the Eagles have made throughout the offseason. So each year at the golf outing, we have many different celebrities. Last year, we were lucky to have Brad Lidge and Brian Westbrook. Brian Dawkins has participated many times. And what's really exciting is many of Michael's colleagues in the media, throughout the media in Philadelphia, as well as former athletes from the Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, and Sixers, they all come together. And this year we're at White Manor Country Club, and that's in Malvern, PA, and it's on Monday, June 29th. So it's very exciting. It's our biggest event throughout the year. I think last year we raised close to $80,000, which goes to all the families that we support throughout the year. And it's a great event. Capital Grille is a big part of it. And one of my dear friends and somebody that we honored last year, the golf outing is in honor of Matthew Maggi. Mark Maggi has been with Alan and Michael and have been a friend of their family for years. Mark's brother, Matthew, passed away suddenly a couple of years ago. So the golf outing is in his memory. And each year we give an award out to one of our very special supporters. And last year the Spirit of Matthew J. Maggi Award went to Tony Nucera, who was actually somebody that I have known for 20 years plus. He actually watched me when I was a kid at Our Lady of Grace here in Bucks County. Tony is the vice president of sales for Office Depot, formerly Office Max. And Tony is one of our biggest supporters, has a heart of gold. He's a local guy, went to Holy Ghost Prep, and he gives his time, and he also gives a lot of money through Office Depot. So this year we're going to be announcing a very special recipient of the Matthew J. Maggi Award, and that's who the golf outing is named after. And like I said, it's a very special day. Our guests enjoy Capital Grille for lunch. They get dinner. Of course, we have some adult beverages out on the course. And you can't beat golf in June, right before July 4th at White Manor Country Club. So stay tuned for many more details about the golf outing. It's going to be a great day. And this is a very exciting time of the year for everybody. I mean, we have spring right in front of us. Summer's not too far off, and that means a lot of talk about the Eagles, the draft, Phillies are coming up, and obviously the Flyers are in the thick of the playoff chase. So it's a great time of the year, Jim.
Hey, we're going to talk Eagles with you in just 1 minute, but let me ask you one thing. Since you mentioned some of the athletes, many of the Barkan Foundation events, as with your past work at ARC and Kisses for Kyle, have featured appearances by a lot of big-name Philly athletes, from Brian Dawkins, as you mentioned, to Claude Giroux, to Ryan Howard, so many others. Is it tough getting these guys to sign on for these events, or are they happy to help out?
I think we're very blessed here in Philadelphia. I think our sports community is one big family, and a lot of the athletes in Philadelphia, not only with the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation, but they're so involved with many charities, and honestly, their schedules are incredibly busy. They have such a demanding schedule. However, if Michael and Alan, you know, ask an athlete to attend an event, most times, more often than not, they say yes, and that speaks volumes about Michael and Alan and the relationships that they have with these professional athletes. And there's a lot of mutual respect and admiration. But it's not about them saying yes; it's about their schedules, and they're so demanding. And even in the off season, it's actually harder to probably get a bigger name as far as a professional athlete in Philadelphia to come during the off season, because most of them go away and do their workouts and travel. So in season is also tough because they're so immersed in the season and what they have to do to prepare for each game. So we're very lucky in that respect. We try and get, you know, former athletes, even current athletes, to come out to our events that are really community driven, that are guys that are really, you know, people that really want to be involved in the community and supporting the firemen, the police officers. So we really look to pick guys that we know that are into it, like being around our guests. I know you, in fact, were at our event in December, our Holiday Hearts event, where Brian Dawkins attended. We were at Xfinity Live. We had about 250 guests. That was a great event, and I'm proud to say, in conjunction with that event, we were able to support 13 local families through our Holiday Hearts program. So Brian Dawkins, everybody loves Brian Dawkins. We had a huge turnout that night. I'm sure you had a great time. I know you were
Absolutely.
You were there with your friend Denny, and you know, that's it's great for our supporters and fans to get to interact and get to know the athletes as people, because that's what they are, you know, and they're a part of our community. And I think we're very lucky here in Philadelphia. Everybody is so involved and engaged, not just with us, like I said, with so many different charities. And, you know, you can't say enough about Eagles Youth Partnership and what the Phillies and the Flyers, I mean, the Flyers Carnival and the Sixers. Everybody goes above and beyond. Look at what the Big Five coaches do with, you know, Coaches Versus Cancer. It's just special. And I don't think that exists in every other major professional sports city, you know, with all the franchises participating and having their professional athletes so engaged and involved in a community. I feel like, you know, we probably have it the best, and I don't think we should ever take that for granted. So, you know, our teams are struggling a bit, you know, on the field right now, but they're certainly winning off the field, that's for sure.
Yeah, Mike, and on a personal note, I'm a middle-aged guy, but I'm kind of a sports groupie, if you will. And, you know, thanks to you and your organizations and your events over the last 10 years or so, I've met so many Philadelphia athletes and icons, and, you know, from Donovan McNabb to Ryan Howard to Shady McCoy to Claude Giroux and Matt Reed and all these guys. And, I mean, they all were just, you know, just so nice to the people who came out. And it's just really exciting for everybody, you know, as fans, to meet these athletes and then to know that you're also doing something good for a charity at the same time. So everybody who goes really appreciates these events.
Well, I think that's important that you stated that, Chet. I mean, I think it's very important when people come to the event. Sure, they're going to possibly get their picture taken, you know, and it's a great memory. But I think people that leave our events have that great experience with the athlete. But most importantly, they understand why they're there, and they feel a part of something very special for the families that we're supporting. And they know that a guy like Brian Dawkins is there to help us raise money together, you know, for these very special families. So I think that's very important. So it's a big part of what we do, but we know that our supporters, they walk away knowing from each of these events, our fundraising events, that, hey, we had a great time, it was fun, but we raised a lot of money for some very special. I really can't emphasize enough how important that is, and we get great feedback about those events, and we're going to keep them going. I mean, it's very important. It's a big part of what we're all about as far as fundraising. I mean, fundraising is very difficult, especially in 2015, because there's so many wonderful charities and great organizations. So we look to think outside the box with our events and really try and make them affordable. But at the same time, when you come to our events, your money is going directly to local families, which I love. And I think our community of supporters will tell you they love our particular foundation because they know where they can see where their money's going. I think that's very important, especially in 2015, because there's a lot of trust issues when it comes to a lot of the larger organizations and charities. And, you know, we're local and we're not huge. And if you're thinking about supporting a charity, check us out sometime. I think you'll really like what you see, and you'll feel a part of something very special.
All right, and we'll mention those events again before we let you go for the night, Mike. But first of all, we got to talk a little bit of football. First of all, is that all right with you, Mike?
I love it.
All right,
I love it.
All right,
I wish you were in October right now.
Oh, man, I'm with you. 2014, Mike, was one of those seasons that our favorite team won 10 games, about what most fans had predicted last summer. But it was still a huge disappointment because of what happened in December following that huge Thanksgiving Day win over the Cowboys, three straight losses that kept the Birds out of the playoffs. I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm still not over that.
Me either. As you know, I have an interesting family dynamic. I have a brother who's a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, as you know, and Thanksgiving this year was, I'd have to say, for all of us Eagles fans, was one of the best Thanksgivings ever, and then it kind of went south very quickly with the losses to Seattle, Dallas, and then Washington. You know, I don't know if you have specific questions that you know, or different topics that you want to talk about, Jim. I'm not over it. I think, you know, I'm just, you know, an Eagles fan, but I do want to say I work very, very closely with the Eagles organization, and I can't say enough, and I mentioned this earlier, the Eagles Youth Partnership, and what Don Smolenski and Ari Reutemann and Jeffrey Lurie have done in the community, I'm very, very inspired by. They've been so good to me. I work with many members of the Eagles team within the community. So there's that part of my love for the Eagles as part of that working dynamic that I have with many members of the Eagles organization. But quite frankly, I, just like everybody else, bleed green. And I'm a diehard Eagles fan, always have been, always will be. And I think I'm running out of patience. And I want to parade down Broad Street just like everybody else. I mean, the Phillies parade was wonderful in 2008. It was a beautiful day right after, you know, right, I guess it was Halloween, but I think we all can agree that day in February, one of these years, when we have that parade going down Broad Street, it's going to be something like we've never seen before in this town. And I think we're all kind of growing impatient, and I think we know we have something special with Chip Kelly, but I think that everybody has a lot of questions that have been left unanswered, starting with the removal of Howie Roseman as the GM, and I think there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, what do you think about that, the front office shakeup? Chip totally in charge now. Is this going to work?
It's a great question. We're going to find out. You know, I'm for the traditional, you know, kind of the GM running the draft, you know, talent evaluation, having your scouts, you know, and I like the head coach having the input, but I think, you know, having that team and having the GM run the draft, I think is kind of the realm which I would like to see. But we've changed that, and Chip is now in charge. I think he has been in charge since day one, I think. But now, ultimately, it's his call. And, you know, I'm sure he's a wonderful talent evaluator, and I love him so far as a coach. I mean, I think there were some things last year from a coaching perspective that were, you know, that were kind of missed at the end, but I think he's done a wonderful job so far, and I'm rooting for him. But I personally would like to see a GM, whether it's Howie Roseman, Tom Gamble. I don't know why Tom Gamble, you know, left or was, you know, kind of removed from the situation. But I am more for the traditional look of a GM and having the head coach have input and having all the scouts kind of, get the draft board in order. And because last year's draft, we have Matthews. Jordan Matthews looks like he's going to be a great receiver in the middle of the field. But, you know, I think there were some things that, you know, we look at now, and we're still not sure. I don't think it's possible to judge a draft yet, but some of the guys just didn't get on the field, and I think that's
yeah, including your number one pick, Marcus Smith. That's never good.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So yeah. I think we all have concerns about that, and I think they're you know, rightfully so. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think we're all hoping for the best. You know, we want
well,
this to be
of,
successful.
Speaking
Go ahead.
Of big deals, what do you think about the quarterback situation? Is it going to be Nick Foles, or are they going to really, really try to trade up and get Mariota? Can that happen, and what do you think? Are you in favor of that?
I mean, I've always been in the Nick Foles camp, and I always, you know, as a fan, and, you know, I listen to talk radio, sports, of course, Mike and Ike every weekday, but, you know, I listen to the sports talk on 94 WIP, and you know, the question that I ask myself is the biggest need a quarterback? Obviously,
no.
At the end of the year, we finished with Sanchez. We all know he's probably not going to be back. Nick Foles is 14-4 as a starter under Chip Kelly.
Under Chip Kelly, exactly.
Is Marcus Mariota going to come in here out of college and walk into the NFL starting in September and go 14-4, or, you know, we play 16 regular season? Is he going to have that kind of success? And I think that's a big if. And I think, you know, for me, from my perspective, I think we have many needs on defense. I still think we have holes that we have to fill on offense, particularly the offensive line. I still think we need a number two wide receiver. I think there are many more needs than drafting Marcus Mariota and giving up pieces that we already
Maybe
have
four.
In draft picks. You know,
yeah,
so,
you're going to give up four draft picks to get him? I don't know.
However, I think one thing. Go ahead.
I'm thinking, Mike, that one of the problems is we got spoiled with what Nick Foles did in 2013, 27 touchdowns and just two interceptions. I think people expected maybe, you know, something close to that every year. And so this past year when he struggled a bit and, you know, had 13 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, people said, oh, man, he's taking a big step back. But, hey, you know, you're not going to get 27-2 every year. The bottom line is, as I see it for a quarterback, is wins and losses. And as you pointed out, 14-4 as a starter under Chip Kelly. And, you know, he's still relatively young. Give the guy a break. Give him more of a chance. I think it's way too soon to write off Nick Foles.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, some of Eagles Nation shares our view and a lot of others don't. And what I would say in two of those losses, Nick Foles did not play very well. However, in the fourth quarter, when the game was on the line, he brought the Eagles back, and they were knocking on the doorstep on the one-yard line, and we didn't get the ball in the end zone. So those were two losses. Arizona is one of them, and I think, San Francisco was the other. I just, in my personal opinion, I just think there are too many other needs, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I think this team is not that far off from competing with the – you know, there's some really good teams in the NFC. I mean, we saw it, Green Bay and obviously Seattle. Dallas took a big step, in the end of the year. But I think we've got other needs. However, if they drafted Marcus Mariota, I hope we don't have to give up too much. And I'll tell you what, it'd be very intriguing to see what Chip Kelly can do with him and his system. Me personally, I'd like to see what we can do with Nick Foles, a quarterback, and you know, really draft well and see what we can do in free agency and you know, get this team back atop the NFC East and playing in the January and hopefully at some point in February. So that's
yep.
How I see it.
I agree, Mike. A lot of needs, including beefing up the secondary and getting Jeremy Maclin re-signed. So lots to take care of. Don't get rid of all those draft picks for Mariota. But if you do, he better work out. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean,
all right,
so here's what I was thinking, Chet. I mean, watching the playoffs this year, you know, you kind of compare, you look at the teams that are playing in January and then obviously in the Super Bowl. The things that I saw that showed me that the Eagles were a little bit, you know, not on the same level. I'm looking for this offseason, finding guys that are physical. You know, you looked at the games, you saw physical football. And I think we have a few guys on defense that, you know, the Connor Barwins, who am I thinking about that we that really came into his own last year on the defensive line? Fletcher Cox had a great season last year. I think we have a couple pieces to build around on defense. I think we need to get more physical on the back end of the defense. Obviously, I think we need an upgrade at linebacker. And I also think last year we were decimated early on the offensive line. And when you speak of Nick Foles and his success in 2013, let's face it, the offensive line was clicking on all cylinders. Last year, especially early when Foles was healthy, they were a mess, and they had many guys out. And I think you can attribute some of Foles' inconsistencies early on to that offensive line not being healthy and not playing well. So that's the first thing I saw, was getting more physical. And then the other thing that I've taken notice, when you speak of New England and Seattle, they have leaders in that locker room who elevate and demand the best out of all 53 guys. And that's why they're playing in the Super Bowl. I see that, especially with New England over the years. You have guys, what was the guy, Chung. He goes from us to New England, and he's playing out of his mind. And I think we have a few guys in the Eagles locker room that have that, but I think we need more of that. And I think we need guys that are going to demand and just say, hey, this is what we expect. Get in line and let's go. You know, we got to get this done. And I think they have a few of those guys, but I think they need more of those guys. And so I hope that they get a few more leaders. And when you think about 2014 as a whole, you know, I think we all got carried away. There's two games that stand out for me. It was Green Bay, which we were smoked out at Lambeau Field, and then the Dallas game on Thanksgiving. And what I see is, if you said to yourself in September of 2014, if we lose not only our quarterback on defense, D'Amico Ryans, and then we lose Nick Foles as our starting quarterback, are we going to go 10-6 and miss the playoffs? And I think everybody would kind of be like, yeah, we're going to go 7-9, 6-10. The problem that we all ran into is we were 9-3 after Thanksgiving, coming off one of the best performances on Thanksgiving that we've seen. And the Eagles were clicking on all cylinders that day. And, you know, the three losses were kind of, you know, a reflection of that Green Bay game, which we were smoked. And, you know, Seattle, they were more physical. Dallas, we couldn't cover Dez Bryant. And Washington, I don't know where the team was that day. It was a very tough game to watch. I don't think they were mentally into it. And you got to win in December, as we all know. And, you know, it's tough when you're evaluating the Eagles and looking at the end of the year and the collapse. And you said you're not over it, and neither am I. But you have to remember, it was with Mark Sanchez and Matthews at linebacker. Your two quarterbacks on both sides of the ball were out. So it's very tough to evaluate. It's very interesting to kind of think and say to yourself, I think we look at the Eagles right now and we're very sour. We have a very sour taste because of how things ended. But I don't think we're as far off as we need to be. But I also don't think we need to go into this and mortgage everything for a quarterback that, in my opinion, I don't necessarily think is our greatest need. So that's pretty much my off-season, my thoughts as an Eagles fan, you know. And I'm hoping we get it right. And at some point, I hope that we can all come together down on Broad Street and, you know, celebrate a Super Bowl. Because I really like Chip Kelly. I think he's a great coach. And I think he's innovative. I think he's brought a lot of excitement, a lot of energy to the city of Philadelphia. And I think now it's just really getting the talent and getting his guys to execute his plan. And let's see what happens. So it's very – what an intriguing offseason, and we still have 2 months to go before the draft.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mike, we both love to talk, especially when it comes to pro football. That consequently, however, has put us behind schedule a bit. Can you stick around for 10 minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, because I want to put you in the hot seat, Mike. You ready?
Sure.
Here we go.
Sounds good, Jim.
Let's do it. Mike Barnes, it is time for 10 in 5. Very basically, over the next 5 minutes, I'm going to hit you with 10 questions, and you'll give me, I'm sure, 10 terrific answers. All I'm asking, though, you keep these brief, maybe about 20 seconds or so per answer, so we can get them all in. You ready?
You know that's hard for me, Chet. Go.
I know. Well, let's give it a shot. All right, your work with the Barkan Foundation, Mike, means that you get to see a lot of Comcast Sportsnet's Michael Barkan. What's one thing about Michael that most people wouldn't know?
Two things. He loves Frank Sinatra, loves Tony Bennett, that era of musician. And the one thing that I love about Michael is if you meet him at an event, he'll remember your name if you see him 2 years later. So that's something really cool that Michael has down that that is really an instinct that most people don't possess. He can remember names really well, which I think is really cool, but he loves Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, man, a real nice guy too. Number two, Mike, we all want to see a better Eagles secondary in 2015. What is the next biggest priority?
In my opinion, wide receiver. Wide receiver.
Okay, I agree. Yeah, you got to get Macklin back and beef it up too and maybe upgrade from Riley Cooper.
Not only do you have to get Macklin back, but you need a number two. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's for sure. Number three, when it's all said and done and the book's been written 20 years from now, who's going to be remembered as the better Eagles coach, Andy Reid or Chip Kelly?
Andy Reid.
Really?
My
you surprised
opinion,
me with that one. Yeah.
The only reason I don't know how long Chip Kelly will stay. And if he does not get his quarterback in Marcus Mariota, I'm not sure, if he might want to take his system elsewhere. So I think from that perspective, he's got a lot of winning to do. I mean, I think we all have, Andy Reid, he won a lot of games here. And you talk about five NFC championship games. That's a lot of winning Chip has to do. So my guess, if you're asking me right now, is Andy Reid.
I hope Chip stays around long enough to get that Super Bowl that we all want. That's one thing.
Me too.
All right. Number four, Mike, you've been a season ticket holder for several years. Most memorable game at the link, good or bad, that comes to mind for you?
That's a tough one. Most memorable game at the link. For me, it was – there's two games, but the one game, Dallas came in here. We were dead. We needed the Raiders, I believe, to beat Tampa on a Sunday.
On the last day of the year.
Play. That's right, yep. And we came in, Dallas, T.O., they didn't even show up to play, Tony Romo, and I think we beat them 40-8 at the link. And we squeezed into the playoffs. You know the story, we played Arizona in the NFC Championship game, we lost that game, but that was one of my favorite days at the link.
Mm-hmm. Number five, Mike, you love football, of course, that's obvious, but what is your second favorite sport?
College basketball.
Okay, I can buy that. Number six, anyone who's seen your Facebook activity, Mike, knows that you've met and posed for pictures with hundreds, maybe even thousands of famous athletes and other celebrities. Yeah, I'm a little envious. Now, who is someone on your bucket list that you would still love to meet?
Boy, that's a tough one, Jim. I've never really thought about that, to be honest with you. Go to the next question. I'll come back to that one.
Okay. Number seven, Brian Dawkins, of course, has been a good friend to the Barkan Foundation. I know.
Yes.
So let's exclude him from this one. Too easy. Who's other than Brian, who's been the coolest Eagle that you've gotten to know over the last 10 or 15 years?
Coolest Eagle to know? I personally have always loved John Runyon. I love the way he played. I love the battles with Michael Strahan. And then I loved what he did after his career, and he's continuing on. He served his community as a congressman, and now he's moving into the nonprofit sector. I think for me, John Runyon is certainly at the top of the list, and then right behind him is Deuce Daly.
Ah, yeah. You know who's another good one? John Dorenbos. What a great guy he is.
Love John. I mean, you talk about somebody who's done a lot for the community. He's one of the best.
And a fun guy, too. Number eight,
yes.
Lots of big-name summer concerts are on the schedule. AC/DC, Billy Joel, Jimmy Buffett, the Dave Matthews Band, many others. How many concerts will you see this year, approximately, and which are you looking forward to most?
I think I'm going to see just about everybody that you mentioned. I'm a concert guy.
I figured
obviously,
that.
For me, Dave Matthews has always been a favorite. Last summer, though, I have to say, seeing Billy Joel at Citizens Bank Park and Boyz II Men came on stage with him, it was an amazing show, so Dave Matthews is at the top of the list, but I'd say right behind Dave Matthews is Billy Joe. I think that was one of the best events of the summer last year here in Philadelphia.
By the way, I'm going to see my first ever Jimmy Buffett show August 20th, so I'm hoping to have a margarita before the show with you.
Will you come join myself and Bill Barnes? We'll definitely be there. As you know, we're Parrot Heads.
Oh, speaking of Bill, Mike, you've got an older brother, Bill,
yes,
who, as we mentioned earlier in the show, is a former coworker of mine and still a good friend, but he has got that one major character flaw. Again, what is that flaw, and how do you, a diehard Eagles fan, deal with it?
Bill is a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, fell in love with Roger Staubach and that damn star many years ago, and quite frankly, I don't deal with it because I don't talk to him for 6 months out of the year. No, Bill is a great brother, but that is his only flaw, and it's a big one, and it's Bill and I battle, and it's very, everybody knows about it. And we love each other. If you want to talk about somebody who's inspired me to be where I am today, working for the Barkan Foundation, it's my brother, Bill. And he's why I do this. He got me started at the Eastersill Society when I was 13 years old. And but it's a big problem for me that he's a Dallas Cowboys fan, and as it is for a lot of his friends and friends of our family. It's disgusting, and it's a disgrace.
Yeah, other than that, though, I can't imagine anybody disliking anything about Bill. But
you know what? People even like him, even though people don't even care about his love for the Cowboys. They still love him, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I don't like that for 6 months of the year. We don't talk.
Did you want to go back to number six? Somebody you still want to meet, maybe get your picture with, a celebrity or a sports figure?
Yeah, I mean, I've been blessed and honored to have met so many of them over the years. And you know, I've actually gotten to meet Muhammad Ali and Mick Jagger. I can't really think of anybody, but I'll end it on this. To meet somebody like Officer Ed Davies, that trumps and overtakes any picture with any of those celebrities every day of the week. And he's one of my heroes. And if you ask my children, you know, if they want to play sports, you know, if they should look up to an athlete, they'll tell you that their heroes are their police officers, firemen, and their teachers and doctors. I mean, it's awesome to have gotten to meet all those amazing celebrities. But meeting somebody like Ed Davies, that for me right now in my life is an honor and a thrill, and will stick with me more than, you know, a 10-second chance with one of these major celebrities. However, maybe one of the I've always liked Eva Mendez, Jim. So maybe Eva Mendez. We'll put it at that.
I could see why.
Yes. So well, maybe
so
Eva Mendez will be a good one.
You mentioned the Davies, though. That's another opportunity now to segue into number 10, our final question. Tell us
sure.
again about your website and the March 7th event.
Sure, it's thebarkanfoundation.org. Barkan is spelled B-A-R-K-A-N-N. And next Saturday night, March 7th, Chickie and Pete's, Roosevelt Boulevard. Once again, it's the Chickie and Pete's on Roosevelt Boulevard, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. $30 will get you 3 hours of domestic drafts, wine, beer, soda, crab fries, all the crab fries you can eat. And most importantly, it's for Officer Ed Davies and his family, one of our heroes. And let's bring the community together. We're all one family, and let's raise some serious money for Officer Davies and his family. And let's have some fun while we do it.
Sounds good to me. I'm hoping to make it out, Mike. Hey, thanks for playing 10 in 5. All right. Thank you, Michael. Good talking to you, and hope to see you real soon.
Thanks a lot, Chad. I really appreciate this. Have a great night.
Okay, Mike, we'll talk again soon. Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, Mike Barnes from the Barkan family, Hearts for Heroes, Healing Hearts Foundation, and the big event coming up March 7th, and the golf event in late June. Get all the information on the website. All right. No trivia question tonight, but when my partner Bill Furman is, we hope, back in the saddle, we will have a great 8x10 autograph photo to give away for whoever is first to provide a correct answer to our trivia question. That'll happen 2 weeks from tonight, and as always, that autograph picture comes courtesy Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, Pennsylvania. Boy, Carl's had some great signings recently, including a private signing with Flyers legend Bob Clark over the weekend. Plus, he's had rookie goalie Rob Zepp and ex-Eagles John Runyon and Trey Thomas. This coming Saturday, he's got National Hockey Card Day Part 2. That's at Carl's. Future signings include the Flyers' Ryan White on March 26th. Then, I like this one, PA announcer Lou Nolan and the great anthem singer Lauren Hart, daughter of Gene, of course, on April 4th. That's going to be fun. Plus, former Eagles Ike Reese and Jamal Jackson on April 11th. All of that and more at Carl's Cards and Collectibles. Check out Carl's website or find him on Facebook. Now, before wrapping up for the week, let's see what else has happened since the last time we were here. The Flyers had that incredible weekend, picking up back-to-back dramatic 3-2 wins over two very good teams, Nashville and Washington, and then, go figure, they lose to a bad Carolina Hurricanes team last night 4-1. So the Flyers, boy, they're a tough team to figure out. They are still 4 points out of the final Eastern Conference wild card slot with 21 games remaining. Don't get your hopes up. I mean, I hope they do it, but I'm not optimistic. The Phillies, of course, officially opened spring training with Cole Hamels backtracking from his comments last Wednesday about him preferring to be on a contending team. Cliff Lee pulling out a magic eight ball to help him answer the media's questions. Ryan Howard not yet ready to talk to the media about his situation. And then Dominic Brown, of all people, suggesting that the team needs a better attitude compared with last year. This from a guy who played like his head wasn't in the game half the time. Oh, after back-to-back 73-win seasons, the Vegas over-under for wins for the Phillies this year is 68.5. Guess which way I'm leaning. I hope I'm wrong, but, boy, this could be a long summer. And then there are the Sixers. We had beat writer Tom Moore on with us last week, about 18 hours before all heck broke loose, and the team traded away last year's Rookie of the Year, Michael Carter-Williams, and the talented athletic rookie, K.J. McDaniel. So now the Sixers have, let's see, Nerlens Noel, Robert Covington, and a bunch of guys you probably wouldn't recognize. And after recently being on pace to match last season's win total of 19, maybe even get to 20, they now may be very well stuck at 12 wins for a little while here. Thank you, Sam. But hey, they do have something like, what, 37 draft picks over the next 2 years, right? I wonder if Brett Brown has started drinking yet. Now, one final rant. Keith Olbermann, you know, boy, in his first go-round at ESPN many years ago, I liked Keith, but now he's back there and just seems to be more pompous than ever, and I still can't believe what he did Monday night. I know he had problems with the whole Sandusky thing at Penn State, the way the university handled it, the sanctions being dropped recently, too. And that's his right. He's entitled to his opinion. But then Monday evening, he got into some Twitter wars with students and alumni who were originally tweeting about the university's annual Fawn Pediatric Cancer fundraiser. Some students and alums who tweeted the famous Penn State phrase, "We are," got the response, "Pitiful," from Olbermann. Next, he questioned their ability to read. And then worst of all, he tweeted that PSU students are pitiful because they're PSU students, period. Well, Keith Olbermann, despite your too-late apology, you're the pitiful one here, and the one-week suspension given you by your employer isn't nearly enough in this Penn State alum's opinion. You were right, though, about one thing in that apology. Your comments were indeed stupid and childish. The annual Penn State Fawn fundraiser, which began in 1973, a few years before I was a student there, has raised, in total, nearly $128 million to fight pediatric cancer, including $13 million this year alone. Hey, Keith, how about donating some of your inflated salary to the cause? That'll do it for this week. Thanks once again to special guest Mike Barnes of the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation. Thanks also to Carl's Cards for their continuing support of the show, as well as Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes. Also to our normal sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For my AWOL partner, Bill Furman, I'm Jim Chesko, Chet if you prefer, hoping you enjoyed the show and that you'll join Philly Pressbox Radio again 2 weeks from tonight, Wednesday, March 11th. You can always listen through our Facebook page at Philly Pressbox Radio or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Pressbox Radio. Stay warm, everyone, and as Bill would say, high hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.